Have you ever renovated a home? If so, you'll know that renos and relationships can be a fraught combination. But with property costs rising, buying a fixer-upper to work on sometimes feels like the only real option for homeowners. A staggering $12.8 billion worth of renovations were given the green light across Australia last financial year. And I am guessing a total of around 12.8 billion fights between couples might also accompany that dollar figure. So if you and your beloved are planning a renovation together, how do you make sure it doesn't lead to issues in your relationship? Have you embarked on a renovation project? What impact did it have on your relationship? Maybe it brought you closer together. Maybe it really tested you. I'd love to hear your reno relationship story. And if you're obsessed with home reno shows, then you'll know Restoration Australia host Professor Anthony Burke, who is no stranger to renovators biting off projects bigger than they can chew. Also joining me is clinical psychologist and director of the Brisbane Centre for Attachment and Relationships, Claire Rosamond. Anthony, I will start with you. What are the first things you should consider if you're beginning a restoration project?
I think the more you can do up front, the more discussions one can have before a shovel meets the ground is probably the best advice I could give. You know, we all know the roller coaster that everyone's about to sort of jump on board with. And so the way that you establish what is important, what are the priorities, what are our values here, why are we even doing this? You know, those sort of big conversations need to be kind of really crystal clear at the beginning. And I think that's probably the first step. But we all know that this is a roller coaster, and it has every renovation has a kind of a psychological cycle to it. You know, the enthusiasm, the ambition becomes a bit harder. You're going to sort of get it down in the dumps and then you finish. And that kind of sine curve, if you like, of emotions is a pretty predictable one.
Claire, tell me about this emotional roller coaster. What's happening in these ups and downs, like Anthony's saying?
Oh, well, I mean, a renovation is so stressful, such a time of stress and change. Like, I think that would test anyone. And so I imagine that these sorts of pressures on a couple are going to exacerbate any negative patterns of communication that might have been there before, or they might even create new ones. And so typically what we find in times of stress and change, our emotional signals change. Instead of being warm and fuzzy and clear with each other, in communicating in ways that pull the other in, we get more prickly, more spiky, or more shut down, or more critical or defensive, which of course then creates a different reaction in our partner and vice versa. So we can get caught in these patterns where the more we try to cope in the way that makes sense to us, the more it contributes to disconnection.
Anthony, when you started working on Restoration Australia, I'm sure you've come from a background of the architecture background and that sort of thing. Were you surprised at the emotional component of a show like this?
It's a great question. I sort of was anticipating it. I mean, everyone's home is their most emotional investment, right? So apart from each other. So this is an emotions first, rational second kind of space that we're in. But when I first started doing this too, I was thinking, oh, it's all about architecture. I'm a professor of architecture. I know a bit about that. It's all going to be about houses. But as my producer said to me at the time, she says, no, these are human stories and just don't forget that. And that has been the biggest surprise, I suppose. I mean, I kind of expected it, but it was much more powerful than I imagined. And it's been the biggest pleasure, you know? So now I really think of these as people stories, and architecture is the kind of the medium that helps tell the story.
Well, I am asking for your stories today. Tell me about how your renovation affected your relationship. Did it bring you closer together, or did it really test you? Anne in Newcastle has texted in saying, we're on the tail end of our renovation. We have children aged 5 and under. The reno took out our kitchen and living space for nearly 6 months. All the washing up was done in buckets with the hose in the front yard. Barbecue, toaster and coffee machine lived on the front porch. And Anne says, I have to say it was fine. We were pretty happy and ready to move back in when it's finished, but it worked well under the circumstances. She says, the things that made this work, my husband set up a really good space in the front room of the house that doubled as a kitchen and lounge room. Also, having a kids at an age where they don't understand personal space anyway is useful when there is no personal space. Anthony, how does that story gel with what you see in your work?
I love it. I love that Anne's had a kind of a relatively pleasant experience out of this. It's great. Absolutely gels. I think what's really nice about that is there's a sense behind those words that there's a little bit of an adventure going on here. The family realises it's not in, you know, normal space, normal territory. So it's a bit like, now I'm going to say this and I'm going to regret it, I know, but a bit like going on holidays for a little while where everything is different. Your routines are a bit different. You know, your kind of your daily sort of, I suppose, discussions are all of this a little bit different. So if you embrace it like that, you can kind of enjoy it. I had a renovation at my place 2 years ago and we had to kind of camp out in a little sort of studio space out the back in the backyard. Every night my wife and I would pull the bed out of the couch and every morning we'd put it back again and then everyone would sort of descend on the kitchen and it was tiny. But, you know, after sort of 12 months of that, we actually really enjoyed it and because it felt like a space out of time in a way. And, you know, and we moved into the house and all's well. So I sympathise enormously with Anne and I'm glad she's got a smile on her face.
And you sort of feel like you've earned it by the end of that process as well.
Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah, no, the reward is huge. The payoff, of course, when you sort of step in is sort of like, okay, we've put in the hard yards and this is ours now. So, you know, it's not like just sort of buying something and sort of having it show up on the front door. This is something you've really worked for.
Well, Ted has called in. Ted, you took a big risk. You bought a house without telling your partner.
Yes, that was a little bit of a shock for her, but we got over the hump.
Tell me about the stress. Like, were you taking a big swing or did you just sort of not think to tell her?
Well, it was so different to everything else we'd always had. I've renovated forever, but the opportunity came up to sort of make a change to our life, and I thought, well, I've seen it, I've got to do it. I can't live with myself if I can turn away from this opportunity. And perhaps she didn't feel quite the same when I finally did tell her that, oh, by the way, remember the house I was talking about and the block I was talking about, we own it now.
Ted, thanks so much for the call. Lisa, you've done 6 renovations. How have they impacted your marriage?
Well, we're not on criminal charges yet. So, you know, close to 40 years, we're probably more in love than we've ever been. And each renovation has been unique. We've lived in all of them whilst we've done them. They've been top-to-toe renovations. And one time with one of them, my husband said to me, I thought I was being really clear with this one, that we were communicating really well and we had a deadline and it was going to be 6 months from start to finish. And the morning I headed off to work, he said to me, right, you ready to go? And I said, yep, 6 months. And he said, yep. And I came back and my kitchen was gone. And for 18 months, I had a wok, a toaster, a kettle, and a very fancy hose up to the second floor that was my dishwasher.
Lisa, thanks so much for the call. Claire, I want to bring you in on this because what I'm hearing with both of those is communication perhaps gone wrong each time. Yeah. What are some of the traps for young players here?
I think your communication is everything, really. Like what we know about secure couples, if they have a secure attachment bond, they can navigate life's challenges. They can bend and stretch flexibly. They can communicate clearly. They regulate their emotions better and their bond stays really healthy. And that's what I think we hear in these beautiful success stories, is that when people can navigate the stress of a reno well, they have all those beautiful ingredients there. But if the wires get crossed, communication gets jumbled up, messages get tangled and scrambled, then that's when people get into trouble. So I think the more you can be aware of how your signals, your wires get crossed, and maybe your intent in the message you're sending is different from the impact in how it actually lands with your partner, that's probably the secret weapon here, is getting more and more aware of those patterns and the way you signal so that you can work on changing your delivery. So that you can pull for the best from the other, really.
And just building on what Claire said before, Anthony, there's the way that we communicate with each other can sometimes have a mismatch, but also our levels of perfectionism can differ across a couple too.
Yeah, I think so. And look, normally one partner will take the lead, you know, like it doesn't matter, him or her, it doesn't matter, but they kind of, there's someone who believes that they are the expert and they're kind of like the, the project manager or the designer or that takes on a kind of a badge like that and runs the project for the couple in that way. And most of the time, that's great because those roles are kind of agreed. And so you play a kind of support. One of the questions I generally ask the homeowners when I meet them for the first time is like, what are the roles you're playing? Who's doing the finances? Who's doing the project management? Who's the designer? So in that sense, once that's clear, then as Claire's saying, there's a kind of a clear sense of, all right, well, I'll be responsible for these things. You'll be responsible for those. And we'll talk about the space in the middle together. So I think that's a really important part of it all. One thing, though, I think that comes up, which is really interesting, that sort of comes back to what Lisa was saying, was, you know, when you say to two different people, even if they're in a relationship, what's your idea of this home? They're going to have two different pictures in their heads. And what I think happens a lot of the time is you get to a point when you've torn down you've torn out the kitchen, you've broken through some of the walls and you've started to make a real mess. And then the builder comes in and starts to actually put things back together again. And the first thing someone says, like, hang on a minute, why is that going there? I thought we were doing that over there. Or what? You're doing a giant man shed out the back? I thought we were going to do the kitchen first. So the idea of the home, you know, in everyone's mind is a little bit different. And I think that's a conversation that's really a difficult one to have because it's quite abstract when you're about to launch into this. So it's one thing to be right about the economics, the timeframes, their pragmatics and values you can could have put a number on. But those more abstract ideas of what is home to us, that's a conversation that people probably rarely have. And it's one that you kind of need to have, I think, before you go into any of this because it helps you set those values and priorities.
Mm. Well, Greg from Long Beach is living this. Greg, you're renovating a house to make it suitable for getting older and it's taught you about compromise in your marriage.
We're trying to get the house so that it's nice and level. We can live on one level and there's no steps. And there are various things that we were wanting to do. And we had this big bucket of money because we sold the place, our family home, and moved down to the coast. So we thought we had all this money. But, of course, you know, like everything, and we knew that costs were not going to be all that stable. So it's all this give and take. But knowing right at the start where you can compromise, I don't think we talk that through enough because as we're getting further and further into the build, you're looking at ways of really trying to save money. And while we phased the approach and we did the big things first, as you get further and further into the build, there's things that you really have to sort of lower the quality that you actually wanted.
Yeah, that compromise becomes a bit harder as you get further in. Greg, thanks so much for the call. Anthony, budget is sort of one of those things that I don't think you're actually allowed to put out an episode of a renovation show without talking about going over budget.
That's right. There's a legal requirement now that, yeah, we must meet that particular bullet point.
What I mean, I was going to say why. Like, obviously, there's always a finite amount of money. Somehow it's always never enough. Have you ever witnessed a renovation project that came in on or under budget?
Well, actually, I have. They're about 20%, actually about 15% of our projects come in on budget. So, but I mean, then that sounds, well, that's a little bit of a sort of like a light on the horizon there. Oh, great. There is some hope for us all. But of course, that just means 85% of projects don't come in on budget. Even my own reno at home where I was absolutely diligent about it all, you know, I still came in 8% over where I wanted to be. So, hey. But I think it's one of those things too where there's a certain amount of expectation for the dollar. There's a naivety for many homeowners when they go into a renovation about just the amount of work that has to be done. So you think, oh, we've got $500,000. That's a lot of money. We can do tons with that, can't we, sweetheart? And then the next thing you know, it's gone before you've even sort of started to put the walls up because it's all gone into the foundations. So I think there's an expertise that has to sort of be a part of this. And when we're in renovation space, we tend to think we can do it all ourselves. And that's where I think, no, I think that's when an architect or an engineer or a quantity surveyor, those sort of people who know the space really add value. And you have that conversation up front rather than in the midst of it all. Because when you're in the midst of it all, of course, that's when it's all so much more intense. You're tired, you're stressed, you're trying to make decisions. I mean, every build has something like 10,000 to 40,000 decisions. You know, that's just for a simple renovation. So all that decision fatigue that you and your partner are going through, that is totally stressful. And then to try and sort of, within all of that, manage a kind of a budget sanely and make big decisions on the fly, that is like only adds sort of like insult to injury, I think. So if you, again, if you can kind of bring that kind of conversation way up front, give yourself some clear parameters and then, you know, and then delegate the roles and be comfortable with that. That's the best advice I've got. And that's kind of what I see happening in those projects that are most successful. But saying it is one thing and doing it, it's a very different thing.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor and we're talking about renovations and relationships today. A different Greg has called in. Greg, you and your wife had a long renovation project that took 18 years. How did that go?
Well, it went very well, actually, in the end. We're incredibly happy with the result. We basically bought the house in 2006 here in an industrial suburb of Newcastle, Mayfield, and we wanted to live in it. We worked with a friend of mine who was an architect and who was very keen on utilising what we had on site. It's a very modest place, but built in 1926, and effectively we were very keen to try and utilise as much as what we had here instead of bringing lots of things in. But of course, talking about a house built with hardwood, nothing square. So come finally to the build, after we were very disciplined and what was supposed to be a modest renovation turned into a modest rebuild, then be turned into a major rebuild. And that is going back to, I guess, the point that Anthony was making and your other guest about the decision-making process, is that we remained very committed to our price, and that despite the bank wanting to offer us a hell of a lot of money, which was ridiculous, we said no and we remained. And in fact, we came in under budget.
Stop it.
And we,
bravo.
And we had, and both of us had worked in the media industry as well, and I'd produced television commercials and et cetera. And we always factored in our contingency of about 10 to 15%. And we had buffer.
That sounds great, Greg. Thanks so much for the call. Jasmine, your renovation deepened your relationship.
No, actually, it did the opposite. My husband did all the building himself, and he was an orthoptist. And we had a teenager and two young children. And rather than, tear us apart, I saw him in a different light, and I grew to respect him in ways that I, you know, weren't available before the renovation. So it was actually really, really good. It was hard with two young children, but no, it had a very positive effect whilst we were renovating, yeah.
Wonderful. I'm just going to go straight to Jennifer, who also had a really positive renovation story.
Yeah, hi. Look, the reason I actually rang was Anthony's point on home really resonated with me. And I guess, you know, we renoed 20 years ago for the third time. We're living in that home. My husband and I kind of added on to, rammed earth onto a steel new frame kind of little cottage that we bought. And it's still home. So, yeah, the definition of home isn't necessarily about what others think is valuable.
That's a really lovely insight, Jennifer. Thanks so much for the call. Anthony, do you want to speak to that a bit more?
I'm just going to agree with Jennifer 1,000%. That's all. I think she's really, I mean, again, back to that emotional connection. But yeah, that picture of what a home is to all of us is actually very different. Even though we kind of talk a lot about the Australian dream and how we've all bought into the idea of the Hills Hoist and all of that kind of stuff, actually, the lived experience of home is so specific to each one of us. And when you go into a project and you're thinking, well, I just want to take all the best parts of home that I've experienced and sort of bring them out in the renovation, that, of course, is a sort of a beautiful plan, a beautiful aspiration for a project. But you're standing next to your partner who's had a very different life experience before they met you and all the rest of it. And they're having a slightly different version of that. And I do think then it's one of those things where if you can have those, it's almost like, look, one of the things that a really good architect will do is when you go to see them and say, well, like we'd like to do our renovation, they'll do a design for you. But the first design is not the one they want to build. The first one design is really a test to see if what you want is actually what you really need. You know, and so there's a kind of like a psychology going on there. You kind of use the first design to flesh out the important parts of the design. So it's probably the third design that they do that is really going to be the one that really sort of finds you in the project. Yeah. And I think to Jennifer's point, that idea of home is very, very different for all of us.
Claire, is having something like that sense of home, like an emotional North Star, a useful way of navigating what we've discussed at length can be a really fraught experience?
Yeah, I think that's a really lovely focus to have. And the the more clearly partners can communicate about that and flesh out a shared vision, then I imagine the better they would navigate the project. It's when they probably haven't really articulated that and don't have a shared vision that there's a lot of room for miscommunication, misunderstanding, disappointment, hurt feelings, differences in energy and passion, and all of that would just amplify an already stressful situation.
Anthony, I do have to, it would be remiss of me to have this conversation without asking you a professional question. What is it with renovations and renovation shows and people falling pregnant?
I think I should handball that one to Claire.
It's so true, though, isn't it?
It is true. I mean, we've had it happen, yeah, at least one a series. It's slightly weird. I mean, why would you do that in the midst of one of the most stressful things you can do with your partner? You're going to add insults. I might add it, make it even harder by having a baby along the way. Maybe there's something just about like we're so in love with our future. We're building it, and a part of that future, you know, requires the addition of a little one to the family. Claire, help me.
Yeah, with the fleshing out of the dream, wanting to push the goals forward, I think you're on the money there. That's my best guess.
I think it's like living life on hard mode. Either way, Anthony, Claire, thank you so much for coming and sharing your insights today.
Pleasure, Tegan. Great to talk to you.
Anthony Burke is the host of Restoration Australia and a professor of architecture at the University of Technology, Sydney. Claire Rosamond isn't on TV, but we love her anyway. She is a clinical psychologist and director of the Brisbane Centre for Attachment and Relationships. And thank you for sharing your relationship reno tips.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.